I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's take some time to talk to Buffalo Bills pre- and post-game host on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You can hear him again Sunday. Pre-game starting at 9 a.m. right here on ESPN Rochester and taking all your calls after the game. And I'm guessing, Nate, that this Sunday was especially hot and heated when you had all of those people leaving the stadium all at once and after another loss to the Patriots, no less. Nate Geary joining us in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia. How are you, Nate?
I'm well, guys. I'm well. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, it was a tough one, you know. I mean, considering the score of the game, you know, I felt like after the first half I was like, just keep this close. Like, don't let them put a 35 spot on you. That's what I was thinking after about 10 minutes into that football game. And man, things changed really, really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to Allen. We'll get to the offense. I want to ask you about the punt, though. Bajorquez, yeah. Who's at fault here, Nate? Because you see an overload. You know you don't have enough blockers. So is that on the punter to say, hey, we need to shift the protection? Is that on the head coach, hey, let's call a timeout? Or is Bajorquez throw the ball to the open gunner and go pick up a first down? To me, that was not good coaching, certainly.
I definitely think there's probably a few people to blame. Corey Bajorquez is rather far down the list of people that I'll blame. I'd like him to have the awareness that there's a guy, one of his gunners is completely uncovered. There isn't a player within, you know, 20 yards of any direction of him. I'd like my punter to know that, but I think I'd like my sideline to be jumping up and down, pointing at the player that is wide open on the sideline. Like that, you know, the situational awareness was not good in that situation. And here's the thing, you know, Corey Thompson, who is this team, you know, special teams and backup linebacker, depth linebacker, is out due to an ankle injury. He had microscopic surgery, this week. Orthoscopic surgery last week, and he's been out, and he's actually listed as the personal protector. So what they've had to do is shift guys in that haven't normally been playing on that unit, and it's what caused Patrick DeMarco to be on the left side when I'm pretty sure he was in line before the Corey Thompson injury. So, you know, you have a couple of guys there that are playing the position for the first time this season. So there's kind of a lot that went into that play, you know, but the situational awareness was disappointing on that one. Like, the one area of the game you can't let Bill Belichick take advantage of you is special teams. I mean, they end up losing because of special teams. So it was definitely a difficult day. And listen, I mean, going into that game, the Bills were ranked 26th in DVOA on special teams in the league. And it has been much of an improvement over Danny Crossman, that's for sure.
Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills pre- and post-game host in the sports bar here with us, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. When we talk about assessing blame and we talk about that there's no moral victories, that you kept it close, it doesn't mean that you get a win out of that. And just because it's New England and you kept it close, you don't get a cookie. I know that ultimately it falls on the shoulders of Sean McDermott. But, Nate, we got to talk about Josh Allen. I mean, were there plays that he left on the field in terms of taking the underneath stuff, taking what the defense was given to him rather than trying to be a hero with the deep ball or getting himself concussed and knocked out of the game? Does Josh Allen need to continue to improve? And I know the answer to this, he does, but what is it going to take to get Josh Allen to eliminate some of these mistakes, some of these flaws from his game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're entering into this week his 16th game, which will be one full season starting in the NFL, and there are definitely some concerning trends happening with Josh, and one area of that is the turnovers. I mean, 13 fumbles and 18 interceptions through his first 15 games is a lot. It's a lot of turnovers. It was one of Sam Darnold's biggest downfalls in college was, you know, he led all of college football for a 2-year span in turnovers, and for the most part, I think Darnold obviously hasn't played the last week. He's done a nice job of cleaning that up at the next level. But Josh is just making, you know, silly mistakes, just trying to do too much with the ball. And, you know, sometimes, you know, what Josh needs to understand, and I think this is something that can come, you know, as he becomes more experienced as a player. But, you know, sometimes no play or an incomplete is the positive. And, you know, what I like his receivers, you know, I think most notably Zay Jones, to make a better effort at the football and instead of, you know, giving a free rein for the defender, sure. But I'm certainly not willing to put either of those two interceptions that were targeted to Zay Jones on Zay. I mean, those were both on Allen. At the end of the day, he's not getting much help out there either from Zay Jones. And when he's targeting guys like Beasley in the first half, I mean, he was throwing balls in the dirt early in that football game on just simple out routes. And I thought he had grown past that. But, you know, just from even just watching some of the video on Twitter, those throws were, you know, it was bad footwork. So those are fixable things, but things that you don't want to see being broken down at this point. 15 games in.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Nate, you are an all 22 junkie, so I'll give you the out here that you haven't seen the film yet, but there was one play sitting up in the press box yesterday. It was the first interception. I'm like, wait a second here. Beasley was wide open there. You could just get it to him, easy first down. Did Josh Reed turn into a one-read quarterback primarily yesterday?
There were certainly times, and it's not the first time. You know, there's a couple of times that Beasley, in particular, he seems to sometimes just lock on pre-snap and can't seem to get off of him. And he did that on a number of occasions yesterday. I think the one I'm thinking of more notably was a third down play, and I think it was the drive they ended up kicking the field goal in the second quarter, where he just doesn't look at John Brown, who's coming at a slant on right at the first down marker, was wide open. And then I think Zay Jones was also open on the play, and he chooses to go Cole Beasley on the corner route and overthrows him. I mean, Cole Beasley was open had the ball been on him, but he overthrows it, goes out of bounds. And on that particular play, I'm like, Josh, you know, you got to realize that on third and nine or whatever it was, you've got to get a conversion there, and you got a wide open guy at the sticks, and you take the deep play or sort of the shot. You know, it wasn't smart football. And at the end of the day, you saw a big difference come that third quarter, right? Like, he comes out 6-6 on that scoring drive, and you're like, well, where the hell was that all the entire first half? And I think part of that has to do with, you know, when they run with pace and they're, you know, snapping the ball quickly and not allowing the defense to really set up and pin their ears back, you know, that's when they seem to have success this year. That's why I think he's had so much success in the fourth quarter, is because they're playing with more pace. They're snapping the ball at 15, 16 seconds and not right as the play clock expires. So, yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of problems. I think maybe most notably is the turnover issue that seems to be that prevalent in Josh Allen's game.
Nate Gary joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. You can hear his work in the pre and the post game for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network right here on ESPN Rochester. Nate, I'm curious as to your opinion as to whether or not this is the last time we're going to see Tom Brady in a Patriots uniform at New Era Field.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, his performance might suggest it. You know, I mean, the defense just absolutely clamped out. I could not believe that the Patriots ended up with, I think, 11 or 12 first downs overall in that football game. When it was all said and done, considering that drive where Micah Hyde gets the interception, that right there, the CBS broadcast said that at that point, that had been a scoring drive, that was going to be their longest scoring drive from both a time of possession and number of plays. It was like a 16-play drive up until the interception, where they literally drove from their own 3-yard line to the opponent's 3-yard line, and then threw that pick to Micah Hyde, who just made an unbelievable play. But, you know, even that, it's just like, on that drive alone, I feel like they had 5 or 6 first downs. So the fact that the Bills, I mean, they really, really had no answers for the Bills. After the game, I heard Tom, you know, saying, you know, they didn't really do anything that we were surprised by. It's like, well, of course, you're not going to admit that, you know, they took you off guard. But the Bills had answers for everything Tom Brady and that offense wanted to do.
It seems like they're just shifting and morphing here. This isn't the Patriots of Moss and Welker in yesteryear. I mean, it seems like it Danger compared it to the Ravens of 2000. I say Giants of 1990. If the Patriots are going to win, it's going to be running the football, dink and dunk. And,
yeah.
And this
yeah.
defense that they don't have a star, but that's we could talk about the Bills making mistakes, but holy cow, I didn't see exactly New England being out of position at any point yesterday.
No, I mean, Gilmore really locked down John Brown for a good portion of that game. That defensive backfield is, you know, right there, up there with the best in football. You know, that I wouldn't really say that, you know, they're a better overall talent-wise unit than the Bills' defensive backfield. But I will say, yeah, I mean, Steph Gilmore right now is probably right up there as the top three or four corners in football. He's playing like that. And you know, listen, this season, you know, if the Patriots are able to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady playing the way that he is, just uber conservative, being Tom Brady, taking his shots when he gets them, and that offense really being sort of middle of the pack, it'll be interesting to see the narrative about, you know, who wins more Super Bowls without who, because I think this is, you know, this is Bill Belichick's, I think, maybe shining moment as a head coach. Not saying something considering how many Super Bowls he's won, but just the coaching job. I mean, you know, I was telling Howard this morning. I mean, name a defensive lineman for the New England Patriots right now. Can you name one? I mean, the only reason I can name one is because John Simon. It was the same name as Howard's son. I thought it was ironic and funny. Otherwise, who's on their defensive line? Dont'a Hightower doesn't play. You can't name their other starting corner. It's just, you know, it's pretty remarkable what that team does. And they get guys, you know, Trey Flowers, who gets just absolute boatload of money from the Detroit Lions, and they're like, you know, you go get paid the highest at your position. We'll move on and replace you with a 7th round pick.
You know, the funniest story is it's Jamie Collins. Hey, I want to get paid. You know what? Go to Cleveland. Okay, I'll get my money. Oh, now you can come back. And it's Collins who ends up with the interception yesterday.
Yeah, man, Jamie Collins playing really good football again. Shocker. You know, it is interesting to me, though, from this aspect with Collins, is, and tell me how Brownsy this is, right? You know, Browns make him one of the highest paid players at his position, and then subsequently cut him 2 years later, right? 3 years later, the Patriots bring him back on a veteran minimum deal, and now they've got him playing their Pro Bowl level again. It just goes to show you, it's just the Patriot way of their roster decision. They'll take you back, but it'll be after some team overpays you and you flame out, and then you'll come back and play the best, you know, football of your life.
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely.
Just, it really is unbelievable. It's Bill Belichick at his finest.
It was Brown as well. I mean, like, you weren't going to pay what Oakland paid for Antonio Brown, but now that he's out there, sure, right. We'll take a flyer on him. Of course, Nate, the world is going to look a lot different between now and how we feel today versus Week 16 when these two teams meet again.
Oh, sure.
Do you think that Week 16 will have playoff implications for the Buffalo Bills? Will they have to go into Foxborough and beat the team that just beat them on Sunday in order to secure a postseason berth?
I'm really hoping the Bills have 10 wins at that point, to be honest. And I'd really like to see that game. Listen, the Bills haven't played on Sunday night since the last Sunday night versus New England debacle. What was that, 2008?
Yeah, that was the 16-0 year. Yeah, 2008.
Yeah.
Or 7? Now I got to look that up.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't blame NBC for never putting the Bills on Sunday night after that one, you know. So I could definitely see that one getting flexed to a Sunday night game, which, you know, would just be awful if they got embarrassed on Sunday night. But, you know, at that point, you know, like I said, I would think that the Bills go into that game with 10 wins.
Well, if you're going to get 10 wins, yeah, you get, probably this is a one game you got to get at Tennessee. Is this a tougher opponent than we expect? What do we make of Tennessee? It's a team that... go ahead, Nate.
I have no idea what Tennessee is. Right? Like, I mean, they can... I think Mina Kimes of ESPN tweeted it the best today. They continue to be the most puzzling team in football. Just from week to week, you have no idea whether you're going to see a bottom five team or a top five team. And, you know, I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know. I think a lot of it speaks to their, you know, inefficient quarterback play in Marcus Mariota. But, I mean, he has arguably his best day, his best game in, I don't know, 2 years last week. You know, so and it's not like Atlanta is no one. But, yeah, you know, the Tennessee Titans are an interesting football team. At the end of the day, I think when they play good defenses, though, they do tend to crumble. I suspect the Bills will have to have a very good, strong defensive performance, especially with that power run game of Derrick Henry. But their wide receivers don't scare me at all. Yeah, especially with the matchups of Trey and how good Levi Wallace has been playing. That offense doesn't scare me. The defense is another, you know, weird conundrum. They've got good defensive backs, but yeah, they're just a really, really difficult team to crack down of what they are.
Well, Nate, paint a picture of what Sunday looks like if Josh Allen doesn't clear concussion protocol. How do you like the Bills' chances if Matt Barkley gets the start?
I think I like him just about the same. I think Matt Barkley will come in and play just fine. That's not a defense that I feel super vulnerable to having play our backup quarterback, whom, by the way, I think is one of the better backup quarterbacks in football. So I still think the Bills could win with Matt Barkley. I really probably won't change my thought process regarding who the quarterback is. I think that's a game they should win.
Nate Geary, who you hear on the pre and the post, as the Buffalo Bills will be playing Tennessee. Singletary, were you surprised that he was a scratch? And can you get away with giving him an extra week, which actually would be an extra 2 weeks considering you got the bye? Your thoughts on Singletary and his availability coming up Sunday?
Yeah, not a bad idea. We see Frank Gore just absolutely defying the laws of just about everything, right? He's on pace for 1,000 yards, which would be the oldest player in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in a season. He's well on his way. Yeah, the thing with Singletary is they certainly missed him, and people are like, Nate, how could you say they missed him? Frank Gore played great, and I said, well, they didn't have the guy that they can run outside zone with, that they could break off. I know Frank Gore ended up breaking off that 41-yard run, but I mean, let's just be honest here. You know, he's kind of their lightning, and they missed that outside presence, but yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Singletary is a great player. I really like his role in this offense, but I think that what he does well, he really needs. He can't be held back with a hamstring injury. Those things are tricky. He re-aggravates it, and all of a sudden, it's a 10-week injury instead of a 4-week injury. So I'm fine with them waiting till after the bye week. But I was actually surprised they didn't play this week. I think it said that they really probably wanted to get him ready for Tennessee. But, I've got no problem with them keeping him out the extra week. It might make sense for him.
Buffalo Bills pre- and post-game host Nate Geary joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Nate, you're always gracious with your time. We appreciate you stopping by. Look forward to hearing you again on the air on Sunday for the game.
Yes, can't wait, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You got it. You too. Nate Geary. Hear him again on the Buffalo Bills pre- and post-game shows. Pre-game starting at 9 a.m. Sunday morning right here on ESPN Rochester.
I was joking with him last night, asking him if he had time to come on. He's like, I'm like, yeah, you got a motor, buddy. He's like, yeah, I better. I'm young.
Yeah, I don't like that he's as young as he is, Gina. I mean, it's one of the things I despise about Nate Geary. It's that he's youthful. Makes us feel old. Nate Geary, good stuff. If you came in late for that conversation, a little recap of yesterday and a look ahead to Sunday. We'll get that up and on demand for you shortly at ESPNRochester.com or the radio.com app. Just search out the sports bar and all of our guest appearances appear for you right there. You can listen anytime, anywhere.
Bill Belichick was asked about the Jonathan Jones hit on Allen, quote, and for Belichick, this is giving a something that there really isn't much you can tell him to do differently.
Right.
We'll see if the NFL agrees with that or not.
Look, these plays happen all the time. And the pass interference calls that try to get overturned, and everything's a judgment call. Why even try? You're trying to get inside the head of somebody who's looking at a picture, a different angle, whatever. No, it drives me crazy. The litigious nature of the NFL absolutely drives me crazy. And the rules and the rule changes and everything that's gone on in the effort of trying to make it either more competitive or more safe or whatever it might be. When we talk about that hit, I don't put the blame on the guy, trying to knock Josh Allen cold. I put it on Allen. Dude, you're not a hero. You're going to shorten your career making plays like that. What are you doing?
See Cam Newton.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You do not play by the same rules as running backs and receivers and every other skill position person.
We have other NFL stories to get to from around the NFL. including some updates on injured quarterbacks. NFL appetizers on the way next in the sports bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Can you imagine the Steelers being 0-4? Yeah. If they lose tonight, that's where we'll be at. We'll talk Monday Night Football. We'll tell you which player got suspended for the rest of the year by the NFL today. And as you mentioned, those NFL injury updates, Bears, Redskins, Jets, and more news coming up.
Hey, real quick, while we have a second here, and we've been spending so much time talking about that hit on Josh Allen, I know it didn't go in the Bills' favor, but maybe that's our hit of the game. What do you think? I mean, it seemed like that was a pretty significant play.
Yeah, I was going to go with the Micah Hyde interception.
Right. Good play.
Yeah,
good play.
Ahead.
Like, we'll take that.
Like your hit of the game, you could say a hit like, boom, you know, contact on contact, or hit like, hey, we're playing all the hits. And if you're going to play all the hits, Micah Hyde, what a read on that, keeping the Bills in the game there, because that would have been the knockout punch. Regardless, those two plays are hits of the game. It's brought to you by Brothers Collision and Mechanical. Brothers Collision and Mechanical, celebrating 40 years in business in 2019. Now, if you've been in business for 40 years, you've certainly earned people's trust. You can trust your brothers in the business. The experts at Brothers work with all insurance companies, helping to streamline the claims process and put you back in your car faster, bringing back your car to pre-accident condition, which is what you want, right? For all mechanical work, including New York State inspections, give Brothers a call today. Brothers Collision and Mechanical, brotherscollision.com.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.